Amen. I tell you what, it's good to see each of you here this morning. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Judges chapter number 6. And as we continue on with Gideon, you know, sometimes in life we find ourselves in a situation or a predicament, and sometimes we often ask the question or we wish that we had someone with us who had expertise and maybe something or difficulty that we found ourselves in, or just to have someone there with us to kind of help us through the difficulty that was there. I remember in Alaska when I lived up there, one of the things that we used to do is we used to go out into the woods, and we used to go out into the wilderness area. And I will tell you, one of the things that we used to do is we used to go love to catch the big old rainbow trout that they had. They had pretty good sized rainbow trout in Alaska. And matter of fact, there were these areas that we could go into. And so we used to venture out. And on this particular one occasion, while we had gone out, and it was actually a series of three different little pond areas. And they were all three fed by a stream. And so these rainbow trout would come down through those streams and get in those small pond areas. And so that's what we were fishing. And this one particular one that I was fishing on, there was a dam that went across from where one of the streams came in and where the actual pond area was at. And so there was a dam that went across. So you could go all the way, go all the way around this one particular pond and go down to the next one, come back around and come back up. Well, on this particular day, it was a beautiful day, and we'd been out, and so up there we used to fish with what they call flies. Some of you who may are familiar with that, you'd know what a fly is. It's like it's artificial, and you put it on the end of a pole. A lot of people use them on fly rods, and some will just use some just poles with a line on the end where they just kind of flip the fly around. But anyways, we're out there that day, and I was out there fishing. Well, I was throwing a little spinner bait out there. And matter of fact, I had already caught three pretty nice rainbow trout, and I had them in the container. We had a little box container that we used to keep them in, because that's what the law stated that you had to do. You had to keep them in a creel, so that's kind of what we had them in. So I was walking around and minding my own business, and I was having a good time enjoying the nature. And I walked around the end of the pond, and I'd gone across the dam, and I'd started down the other side. Have you ever been in a situation or a predicament where the hair on the back of your neck just kind of starts to kind of stand up? And you get this feeling that you're not alone. Okay? Well, my dad and all of them were down at one far end, and I was all the way up at this end. And so I got this strange feeling, and you know, and it was that time where I wish that they were closer to me than where I was, right? So I kind of kept fishing. Then all of a sudden I heard this noise in the woods over here kind of behind me, and I happened to glance up behind me, and there is a bear standing there. Not uncommon in Alaska. Okay, so don't panic. You see them all the time up there. So she was kind of minding her own business. Well, I just kind of kept minding my own business. One of the things you don't do is turn around and go, "Oh, a bear! Let me go see this bear." Okay, you just kind of keep just nonchalant and just keep doing what you're doing. Well, all of a sudden, I heard another noise up in front of me, right inside the tree line, and I heard it. And let me tell you something. There is no mistaking the sound of a bear cub, okay? Just not any. There were two of them, not far from me. So I want you to get the picture. Mama's back here. I figured out that's Mama. And the two cubs are up here in front of me. And guess who's in between? So I just kind of keep on fishing. Well, pretty soon that hair on the back of my neck just kind of is starting to wave in the breeze, okay? And I glance back, and the mama's coming toward me. And all of a sudden, the two cubs come out the edge of the woods. I'm in a bad situation, okay? got this one figured out because this is what Dad would have done in this situation. I said, bears like fish. I have three of them in my creel. So I'm kind of walking along, and I reached over and I unhinged the top of it, and I reached in there and I took them out and just kind of set them on the ground. And then I just turned back and kept walking a little bit faster and a little bit faster until I was able to get to the other side and get around. And about that time, Mama comes over to those fish. The cubs come out to the fish. They eat my fish. But I was alive. That was one of those situations where I wish my dad would have been there, but he wasn't. Well, let me tell you something. We have a situation here with Gideon. And Gideon and the children of Israel find themselves in a very bad situation, in a very bad predicament. As a matter of fact, they're being oppressed by the Midianites. And the Midianites, as they oppress the children of Israel, things do not get any better. And so God raises up Gideon. Matter of fact, he refers to Gideon in chapter 6 and verse number 12, calls him a mighty man of valor. Well, I hate to tell you this. He's not a mighty man of valor at this point in time, and I will say this. When I was between the mama bear and those cubs, I was not a mighty man of valor, okay? In that situation. But so, neither was Gideon. But God told Gideon, said, I'm going to raise you up because here's what I'm going to do. You're going to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Well, we come to verse 13. And so Gideon begins to rehearse something here. Matter of fact, it's a question that we had looked at last week. You know, sometimes we struggle in our Christian life, even today, wondering where God is. We hear all of these things about God and we see all of these things and we read and study the Word of God and we find ourselves in situations and predicaments sometimes that a lot of times we wonder where He is. And the next question that comes, is God aware of what's going on in my life right now? Does God know what's taking place in my life right now? And sometimes we find ourselves questioning that very thing. Sitting, waiting for God to remove the situation or to raise up somebody else to bring the help that we need. Well, verse 13, Gideon had said to God, you know, if the Lord's with us, then why is all of this befallen us? In other words, why are we having to deal with all of this? And where are all of His miracles, which our fathers told us of? Saying, well, first of all, didn't God bring us up from Egypt? And now notice what Gideon says. But now God's forsaken us. God's just kind of abandoned us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Let me tell you what Gideon basically said. Gideon is saying that the reason we're in the predicament that we're in is because God let us get there. If this was the God that we had served, and this was the God who brought us up out of Egypt, and this was the God who had done all of these things, then why are we in this predicament or why are we here? Well, verse 14. Be careful sometimes what you bring to God's attention. Be careful sometimes how you relate things to God. Verse 14. And so the Lord looked upon him and said, well, Gideon, guess what? I want you to go. I want you to go in this, your strength, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And now notice the question that God asked Gideon. Have I not sent you? In other words, Gideon, don't you understand that you're the one who we just spoke to you while you were in the wine press, and the Lord says to Gideon, said, don't you know you're the one that I'm going to send for this situation? Well, verse 15. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family alone. Okay. Is poor. In Manasseh, and I am the least or the youngest in my father's house. Well, guess what he's saying? Gideon said, wait a minute, God, God, do you understand who it is that you're asking to go do this? As a matter of fact, the tribe of Manasseh, this particular portion, is pretty insignificant when it comes to the overall scheme of things. And, oh, by the way, he said, I want you to understand this. I'm the youngest in my father. Listen, I'm the youngest one in my father's house. Well, verse 16. So the Lord said to him, all right, Gideon, surely I'll be with you, and you will smite or defeat the Midianites as one man. And let me just say this to you. That's all the authority Gideon needed. That's all Gideon needed right there at that point. As God's told Gideon, said, Gideon, I've called you to, I'm sending you. And now here's what I want you to understand. Because I am sending you to do this, you'll defeat the Midianites. Matter of fact, you'll defeat the Midianites as one man. Why? Because it's God's authority that's been bestowed upon Gideon to accomplish what God desires to have done. Matter of fact, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Because of their sin, God sends a deliverer by the name of Gideon. And so he raises Gideon up to do this. Verse 17. And he said to him, if now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talk with me. You know, when most people read the story of Gideon, they think we go from the calling of Gideon while he's in the wine press threshing wheat, and we go to the fleece that he puts out, and then everything's accomplished and he leads all of this. Well, I want to share something with you this morning. There is a progression here of Gideon before we ever get to the fleece. Matter of fact, the first thing that Gideon says, okay, well, God, I understand what you're saying, but God, I just want to make absolutely sure that I'm the one that you're actually talking to. So God, here's what I need from you. I need a sign from you that this is exactly what you want me to do. And how many of us do that with God today? I can say this. When God called me to the state of Louisiana, the Ascension Baptist Church, first thing I asked was, well, God, would you please send me a certified letter in the mail? Surely, God, you're not asking me to come to Louisiana, okay? We often do that with God even today. Well, God, I need to know for sure. God, you need to send me a sign. God, I need some way to verify that this is in fact what you want me to do. Well, hold on. So Gideon says, so if I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talk with me. And so here's what Gideon says. He says, don't leave. He said, tells the angel, or said, stay right here. Just don't leave. I'll be right back. So guess what Gideon does? Gideon runs to the house. And he said, I pray you until I come to you. And he said, I'm going to bring you a present. And I'm going to set it before you. And he said, well, I tell you what. He said, I'll stay here till you get back. So Gideon, I want you to get this picture. I want you to get this thing. So Gideon tells the angel, Lord, said, just hang tight. Just sit right here till I get back. So he goes back to the house and he's going to get this present together to bring back to the angel of the Lord. So verse 19. So Gideon goes in and he makes ready a young goat and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. Well, how much is an ephah of flour? That's about a half a bushel of flour. Now, let me tell you something. He is what Gideon is doing. Gideon is making enough food that would have fed an entire family for an extended period of time just for this one individual. Now, what's kind of out of kilter here is there is a shortage of food to begin with. And so Gideon's going to go prepare all of this and to bring it to this one that is here to see if, in fact, God is the one that is speaking with him. So that's what Gideon's going to do. So he gets it all together. He puts it in a basket and he puts broth in a pot. Let me tell you what that's called. In today's vernacular, he's making gravy. So he's going to have this goat, these unleavened cakes of bread, and he's going to have gravy that he pours over it. And so he brings it out to him under the oak and he presents it. And so the angel of God said to him, so I want you to take the flesh of the meat and the unleavened cakes. And matter of fact, he said, I want you to lay it all right here on this rock. Just lay all of it right here on the rock. And lay them upon the rock, pour out the broth of the gravy. And so he did so. So he puts it all on the rock. He pours out the gravy on top of it. That's wet. Okay? It's soaking wet. And so look at what happens next. Verse 21. So the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. And he touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock. In other words, fire came up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now imagine being Gideon standing there watching all of this. As far as we know, there was no further conversation. He takes the staff. He touches the rock. Fire comes up out of the rock, consumes everything that Gideon had made for him. And the angel of the Lord departs. And there's Gideon standing there. Huh. Now, many of us would have thought, okay, so what did that prove? Did that get Gideon's attention at all? Well, look at verse 22. So when Gideon perceived, or he saw, that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Now Gideon's scared to death. He's seen the angel of the Lord. He's seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He brought this present to him. This angel of the Lord takes a staff, touches a rock, fire comes up, consumes everything that's there. And Gideon thinks, because he has seen this and witnessed to this, surely he is going to die now because of what he has seen. Well, verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die." And so guess what Gideon does? Gideon builds an altar there to the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord is peace. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So verse 25. So it came to pass the same night. Now here's Gideon. I want you to understand what all Gideon has been through. Next comes an attempt by Gideon to rationalize why he can't possibly be the person. And that's what he goes through. Surely I'm not the guy who needs to do this. Surely there's somebody else. But God, you give me a sign. Gideon saw all of it. Gideon builds an altar. And I think at this point in time, Gideon realizes, I'm not getting out of this. I'm going to have to carry this through. I'm going to have to complete what God's called me to do. Well, first of all, even Gideon's own abilities and his own potential was not enough without God. And we see that back up in some of the previous verses. And I think Gideon understood and realized that there is no way that he could accomplish it on his own. Let me tell you something. The application for us today is this. There are things with inside of what God has called us to do that oftentimes, listen to me, it is not based upon your ability or your potential with what God calls you to do. You need to understand that without the Holy Spirit of God and the leading of God, we wouldn't be able to accomplish what God's called us to do to begin with. And I think sometimes we hold back, and sometimes we will not step up to the plate when the Holy Spirit of God leads us to, because number one, we don't think we have the ability nor the potential to do possibly what God's called us to do. Well, my dear friend, listen to me. It is not about our abilities or our potential. It's about what God can do through us and what the Holy Spirit can do through us. And I think so often we miss out on opportunities and blessings that would come with service because we don't feel like that we're capable of doing so. Well, listen to me. If God's called you, then go. And if God calls you to something specific, listen to me. God will sustain you. God will give you what's necessary. And He will give you the strength that's necessary to accomplish what it is He's called you to do. And I'll just go ahead and make this statement. In serving the Lord and doing those things that God has called us to do, if we do them on our own accord, in our own abilities, in our own potential, then we're doing it for the wrong reason to begin with. It's because of God. As believers, we need to look at areas of potential service in our own lives in the same manner. I may not know how, and I may not be the most gifted, but God knows. And God can give me what I need. Let me tell you what God needs to hear more from us today than anything else. Here I am, Lord. Not my abilities, but God, whatever it is you've called me to do, let me do it. And I'll give it my best. I'll give it my best shot. But before Gideon and before Israel can have victory over the Midianites, they must get rid of the enemy from among themselves. Look at verse 25. This is the crux of where they are. So it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, I want you to take your father's young bull, even a second bull of 7 years old, and I want you to throw or pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the grove or the Asherah that is beside of it. Wow. Gideon grew up in his father's house worshiping who? Baal. The children of Israel find themselves under oppression by the Midianites because of their sin and refusing to do what God told them to do when they went into the land of Canaan. And they find themselves in a position now and in a predicament of a cycle that repeats itself over and over and over and over again. And things are no different. Why are the children of Israel where they are? God calls Gideon out of his father's house that worships Baal. There's a Baal there. There's an Asheroth there in the house of Gideon's own father. And so guess what God tells Gideon you've got to do? He said, you got to get rid of it out of your father's house. Now imagine being that. I want you to understand the significance of the day that we're talking about here. The father was the patriarch of the family. And the children and the family did not go against the patriarch of the family. But now God tells Gideon, I want you to go take down that Baal idol that is in your father's house and you need to get rid of it. So what does he do? Verse 26. So he builds an altar unto the Lord, and he tells him, and build an altar unto the Lord your God upon the top of this rock or the stronghold in the ordered place, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove or the Asherah, which you will cut down. So Gideon takes 10 men of his servants, and he did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day. So guess what Gideon does? They do it at nighttime. So Gideon gets 10 men. And at nighttime, they go into his father's house to take down this Baal and this Asheroth that's there, and to destroy it and to remove it, and then set up an altar on the stronghold of the rock, according to what God told him to do. And because Gideon was afraid of his father's household. But I also, there's a detail in that verse that we often read right over. Not only was he afraid of his father's house, but guess who else he was afraid of? He was afraid of the men of the city. And guess who they were? They were Israelites. Why in the world? Let me tell you something. That seems just backwards. Why would he need to fear the men of Israel? The ones who should be worshiping the Lord God themselves. No, they're more concerned about that Baal and their Asheroth than they are about God Himself. That's where the condition of Israel was at this point. And so Gideon, under the fear and under the cloak of night, takes 10 men and goes and tears down the Baal and the Asheroth out of his father's house. Verse 28. And so when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. it was gone. So what is God trying to get across to Gideon here? Let me tell you what he's trying to tell Gideon. Gideon is being told to make God the center of every aspect of their life, beginning in the home. To make God the center of everything. So in other words, there's got to be some cleaning of the house. There has got to be some taking away. There's got to be some tearing down. And my dear friend, listen to me. Before we can ever accomplish what God has called us to do, sometimes it is necessary that we tear down some of those things in our own hearts and lives that we have allowed to take the place of and move in the place of where God should be in our hearts and lives. That's where Gideon was. Gideon is told, it is time to get rid of the idol out of your father's house. Erect an altar. And that's exactly what Gideon did. Let me just say this morning. We are not to use God to attempt to get what we want. But we are to see and make God the one we desire and the one that we worship. Not to try to get out of God what we want, but for God to be the very one that we come to and to make the object of our worship. Verse 28, so when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down and the grove of the Asheroth was cut down that was by it, and the second bull was offered upon the altar that was built. Gideon did just what God told him to do. And so they said one to another, okay, here comes the men of the city. What in the world has he done? My dear friend, listen to me. The very ones who were questioning what Gideon done were the very ones who should have been worshiping God to begin with. Baal should not even have been in the household. It's upside down here. It's backwards. The priority is out of whack. No wonder they're under oppression by the Midianites. No wonder they find themselves where they are. So they said one to another, who's done this thing? And when they inquired and they asked, they said, guess what? They finger him. Guess who it is? It's Gideon, the son of Joash. He's done this. It's him that's done it. So in other words, he's been singled out. Think about those 10 men that went with him at night to do this. Gideon gets singled out. It's Gideon, the son of Joash, that has done this thing. And so what do they want to do to Joash? Well, look at verse number 30. Then the men of the city said to Joash, in other words, to Gideon's dad, you need to bring your son out here. That he can what? Die. My dear friend, listen to me. This sentence should have been imposed on the idolaters, not on Gideon. It is Gideon who is acting according to the will of God to do what God has told him to do. And as a result of that, they're wanting to kill Gideon for doing what they should have done to begin with. Verse 31, or the end of verse 30. So I want you to bring out your son that he can die. Because he's cast down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the Asheroth of the grove that was by it. And so Joash said unto all that stood against him. I love this. Let me tell you something. This is one of those where you wish God would give you a video so you could watch it all play out. Just let you see, just let you have a visual picture of what's going on here. And let me tell you basically, let me put it into today's vernacular for it. Joash says, well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. That's at Baal. Well, let me ask you a question. So he's a god, isn't he, that supposedly we worship? So will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? And he that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. And notice what Joab said. If he's a God, then let him plead for himself. Because one has cast down his altar. Well, if this Baal's a God, and this Baal is alive, and this Baal, but I'm thinking to myself, now wait a minute. This is Joash who allowed Baal to be erected in his own house in an Ashtaroth. Now he's the very one that's speaking to those who want to kill his son Gideon and said, wait a minute. Well, if this Baal is who he claims to be, why don't we let him plead for himself? Are you going to plead for him on behalf of himself? Verse 32. Now this is interesting. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has thrown down his altar. He said, well, wait a minute. I'm going to call Gideon Jerubbabel now. Let Baal plead with Gideon because Gideon is the one who's plead or who has cast down his altar. So what can we take away from here? You see, the real struggle in verse 28 through verse 35 is the real struggle here. Look at verse 33. And then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and they pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. So basically Gideon now has gathered an army around him, getting ready to go fight against the Midianites. And there's a key in verse 34. And the Spirit of the Lord was now on Gideon. My dear friend, listen to me. That's the difference. That's the difference. He was the youngest of his household. He was from the least of all the tribes of Israel. That's who Gideon was. But now, he's cleaned house, and the Spirit of the Lord's upon Gideon, and we know what Gideon is going to do from here. But now, hold on. That's not the end of the story. Even all of this that occurs with Gideon, Gideon's not finished with God yet. See, the choice came between following God or the false gods of the surrounding nations. That's where they were. And my dear friend, listen to me. For us today, it's a choice we have to make. Either we're going to follow God and follow the Word of God and be the disciples that we've been called to be, or we're going to follow the world and enjoy the things of the world, but for a season. And we wonder sometimes why it appears that we have lost any influence and any effectiveness at all. My dear friend, it may just be because we need to clean house with inside of our own hearts a little bit. So what idols have we allowed to be erected in our own hearts and lives that contend for our own worship and our own allegiance over God's desire and will for us? What have we allowed to move in that place? What have we allowed to move into that slot? And my dear friend, listen to me. It's real easy to allow that to happen. We can get so busy in life and so busy in this world and so caught up in doing the things that we need and that needs to be done. Sometimes we neglect the very thing that's important or should be important in all of our lives. And that's what God's will is for us, not what our will is. And that's the question we all have to answer for ourselves. Here's Gideon. Is it over for Gideon yet? No. It's only beginning for Gideon. And let me tell you something. When God calls you, and you respond and answer, and God's power comes on you to serve, and you serve under the direction and the authority of God Himself, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you can get ready. Opposition's coming. Opposition's coming. And sometimes that opposition will be from the very ones that you felt like should be the ones there to be your greatest supporter, not your greatest opposer. Gideon's greatest opposer came from the children of Israel, not from the Midianites. His greatest opposer were from those within, not those without. So our choice today is this. We're just going to say, okay, God, I don't know what it is you want. God, I don't know what I have to offer. Because God, really, there's nothing that I have to offer you. But God, whatever it is you want for me in my life, I'm willing to do whatever it is. And Father, if you'll just give me the strength to do it. And the courage to do it. Amen? Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father, we thank you for this event and this record of this portion of Gideon's life. And Father, as Gideon is being prepared, and Father, as you work through Gideon's life, and Father, bringing Gideon, first of all, to the point that Gideon need to be before he goes to the task at hand. And Father, sometimes in our own lives, we need to realize and understand that there's personal preparation that needs to take place first. That Father, we have to get to the place in our own lives where you can use us and use us effectively for your kingdom. But Father, may it be the desire of all of our hearts. That's to be used by you to serve in the kingdom. Father, to accomplish something that you call us to do. No matter how sometimes insignificant it may appear. Because for the whole entire body to function correctly, every piece is necessary. And as the Apostle Paul took and compared the human body with the very body of Christ Himself, every piece is significant and is necessary for the function of the whole entire body. And Father, may we understand and realize that today that with us in our own lives, is there a place for us? There is. And Father, we thank you for that. You've called each of us. And Father, for some, there's something yet for us to do. Father, oftentimes it's not because you don't have something for us to do. But Father, oftentimes it's our lack of saying yes to go. So, Father, I pray this morning during this invitation time that we would search our own hearts and our own lives. And Father, as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. May that be our testimony today in our own hearts. Father, even sometimes when it looks where we ask that question, really? Me? Really? You want me, God, to do this? Father, help us just to say, here am I, send me, Lord. I'll go. I'll go. And we ask all of this morning in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I'm going to ask